Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Earners, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need, without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/EarnYourLeisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/EarnYourLeisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now.
All right, guys. Welcome back. Earn Your Leisure. We got a very special episode today.
Legendary one.
Yeah, these are my favorite episodes. Me and Troy, we grew up on music before anything. So anytime we get to hear backstories on music, entertainment, and the whole industry, like, it's always special for
us. Especially from our era, man. The legends of our era get to tell these stories.
Yeah, we was just
stories.
Telling Chris Gotti, shout out to Chris, shout out to Kenny Burns, shout out to all the guys that came on and was giving us hilarious stories and all that. But also informational.
Yeah,
as well.
Absolutely. There's education in it, right?
So yeah, that makes it beautiful. Sure. So, yes, I say that to say we have none other than the legendary Nick Storm.
Hey.
Thank you.
YL Zone.
Yeah, yes. 914. It's a 914
thing. 914 thing. Yeah.
So, if you don't know Nick is a very interesting guy. He, kind of the brain behind the blow up of Ciroc, is that safe to say?
Safe to say that.
The million case man, they call you.
Million case man.
Former national brand ambassador for Ciroc, so he's a wizard in the spirits industry, and he got his start in the music industry. So we on EYL, we cover every aspect of business, and the spirits industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. And it's something that we haven't covered yet, and you have 20 years of experience from working with Hypnotic, from working with Ciroc, from all over. So We thought you was the perfect guest to bring on. So first and foremost, thank you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, he's the first guest who brought his own wine.
Yeah, he got the wine.
Yeah. You know,
twirling it and all that.
Yeah, I had a long day, and I was like, you know what? I mean, I didn't know if I can drink on this thing, but you know, I know, you know, at Drink Champs you can drink. But I had to bring my own wine just to, you know, to smoothen the night out.
I mean, it's fitting. It's the spirits industry.
Yeah.
And the wine is here.
Yeah, my man Wall Street Trapper, shout out to him. He was like, you know, one thing I like about your podcast is, yeah, just the guests just come as they are.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that's it,
there's no dress code, there's no rules.
Yeah,
so come as you are.
Okay, because I you know, I had a button down in the car, right? And I did. And Jay was like, "No, Nick, go with just." I was like, "Okay, no problem." Well, so shout out to Jeff Tweedy because he's gonna have some Sean John on the shot.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
Shout out to Sean John. That was my favorite clothing line, man.
shout out to
my man Jay Crew Love.
Yes,
a legend in his own right.
Another 9-1-4 guy.
Thank you for putting this together. We appreciate you. So, all right, Nick. So, can we get your backstory? So, you started in the music industry.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I started in music.
And that's when people was actually making real money in music, right?
Whoa, like real money.
This is CDs.
Yeah, this was CD time. Yeah. You know, like I interned at Sony and it was passing out CDs at night, like at all clubs that was popping at that time, like Town Hall and you name it.
So, all right, you started as an intern.
Started as an intern at Sony. I think I got my real, I want to say this, I got my real movement in the music business to learn the music business, more importantly, with a gentleman by the name of Dave Hall. Mm-hmm. Because when Dave got me, he not only just had me as like, you know, like I was Dave's assistant, but / general manager of his studio. And that entitled a lot because Dave at the time, I mean, mind you, that Dave's discography was crazy. So, you know, he did all of Mary, like, biggest first hits on her first one, right? Mm-hmm. So he did all of those tracks. And then he was, like, really, I mean, his biggest next movement was, like, from Brownstone, Mariah Carey, Dream Lover, did Fantasy, Madonna, you know, Horace Brown, Intro. Now, I'm bringing you back, right? And you know, it's so crazy. Dave and Eddie F, like, even think of The Living Color. Like the song
Eddie F, that was
heavy. Eddie F and them had the Untouchables, and the Untouchables had the producers that was under him. Mm-hmm. You know, because back then, remember guys had like how Bad Boy,
the Hitman, and all that.
So Dave was a part of the Untouchables with Eddie F and them. But Dave really gave me like the full movement of like knowing exactly studio time, knowing exactly on sampling. Like that was one of my jobs too. It's like when he sampled the record, you had to get it and see what sample it was and then send it off and see exactly how much it cost. That was like a really big part of the business back then. Mm-hmm. And that was I used to think it was a fun part of my job.
So that was when you were interning.
Yeah. No, that's when I got a job.
Oh, you got a job.
I was like a job.
Okay.
Like
so what was your title?
I was actually, Dave had tied to me as general manager of DMH. So DMH was like Dave Michael Hall, like that was his like whole production company, you know, and that was like a thing of that. And it felt good because see, Dave and them was from Mount Vernon, I was from Yonkers, it was like that whole 9-1-4
sticking together.
So it was like, it was a good time, not only a good time with him, but just a good time of being in the business at the time.
So, all right. So the music business, you kind of scaled that up, right? At that point in time, at some point you was working with Nas?
No, I was working for a lot of the records. Like, so then it was, that's how when I got into the business, I took like some of my musical background and I always wanted to be a promoter. Cause like even in college, I was like doing promotions.
Albany.
Right. So I was like doing my little, like at Sneaky Pete's. Okay. Right. So doing little parties up there. And then I took some of that knowledge and I went to and met a gentleman by the name of John Vasquez over at Justin's. And John was the one who was like, Nick, you know what? I got a Tuesday night open. How about you put something together? And I was like, bet. Let's do it like a little industry Tuesdays. So what I was doing was taking little snippets of the albums that was coming out on Sony and Columbia. So okay. I would take those albums, bring them to Justin's like on Monday and start promoting like, yo, industry Tuesdays and be like, yo.
Sneak peek.
Sneak peeking of Lauryn Hill's album Tuesday night at Justin's. I'm like, what? Lauryn Hill gonna be there? No, but the snippets and the album gonna be there. So I would do that.
So any artist on Columbia? So
anything from there.
Nas was on Columbia.
Fugees, Cypress Hill. I mean, the list goes on. Yeah. Mariah.
Yeah.
But the list goes on. But anything out of not only Columbia but out of Sony as well. I was taking Epic was big too. So I was taking anything from there as well.
So the promoter. So you pretty much promoting.
I was a promoter.
So promoters always was curious about this. They get, how do they get paid? They get pieces of the bar?
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, back then, you had a scalable rate of the bar, right? Today, everybody's a promoter today. And
That's what Kenny said.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Jesus. But back then, it was like you could just take a... But back then, the door was like a big thing, right? Because that's what people had to pay to get in the party, right? Those are the good days. Let me just stop there, okay? Those were the good old days. Like, pay for to get in the party, go to the bar, buy a drink, and dance your ass off. Yeah. Go back to the bar, get some water, and go back on the dance floor. Those are those days.
No bottle service.
But that was VIP. When you was VIP back then,
it meant
was,
something.
Oh God, like that. But beyond that velvet rope, you was really, really somebody. Now anybody's in a velvet rope. My man Joe from the block is on the velvet rope. So I think, but promoters get paid on bar sales. So, but back then when I was getting, how I was getting paid was just bringing a good night to the venue. So they were just doing like a flat rate. Like you do this, that's good. That this is what you're going to get. Probably like make $300-$400. I was good though. Like that was like a good night for me. It was cool. And didn't really put the pressure on you with, you know, like bar guarantee. Like everybody, like a bar guarantee, like somebody give you a venue for a bar guarantee of $3,000, $4,000. You better hope that you make that guarantee.
Can you explain that with a bar guarantee?
Bar guarantee is like, okay, I'm gonna give you Justin's on a Monday night. Your bar guarantee is $4,000. That means my bar gotta make $4,000. Now you go in there and you better do your big promotions. Now your bar come up short at $3,000.
You gotta cover that thousand.
Yeah. And now you gotta cover that thousand for that four.
Even the guarantee, are you just taking a percentage of it or are you getting the whole thing?
The whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's just like that's, but see now we have a scalable rate now. So now people are doing like, all right, let's just say your bar guarantee was 3,000, right? But now I'm gonna make the 3,000, but if my bar makes four, so it's like if your bar makes 4,000, you're supposed to get 10%. Your bar makes eight. See, that's sometimes they do this. So you can go between 3,000 and five, you're gonna get 15% of the bar. You do 5 to 10, you're gonna get 20% of the bar. That's why like everybody, that's why of course you push bottle service so much, because you want your bar to really ring numbers as a promoter so that you can get paid out a lot more at the end of the night.
So let me ask you this, as far as if you get 10,000, like once you reach that 10,000, do you get 20% of everything or just the 10,000, the 20% of 5 to 10? Like it's, you said it's 10%.
Well, most places that's beyond, that's,
okay, it's different.
It's different from everybody else. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like most places will do that off the 10, or most places will be doing off the 20. So,
okay,
you know, it depends on the account.
Okay. All right. So then from there, all right. So you got it. And then you said you got the Monday Night Football.
I had Monday Night Football popping. I had Industry Tuesdays popping. And I just wanted to be within, like that's when like New York was like New York. And it was like a really good scene. And you just really wanted to be a promoter at that time because there was a lot of promoters at the time. I mean, I think the biggest promotion company at the time that you wanted to be a part of, but they already had their crew, was Black Diamonds. That was like Derek Corley, like from AJ Calloway, like all of them. They had this like this group, and it was like they did really good events, but it was really for like us. It was like African American, you know, with jobs, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I remember this place. That, yo, Derek will laugh if you ever hear this, because a place called Orbet on a Tuesday, all the women in there, they were all women with jobs, all guys, prerequisite. With jobs. Like, but you know, it's funny. You couldn't even come in there with sneakers. That's how crazy it was. Like, oh, yeah. You had to have your shoe game on.
Yeah, people forget about the dress code era. Yeah, remember those times. The dress code era. Like, yeah. I remember that era where you had to actually dress up.
Yeah.
Like, hard bottoms and all that.
You had to have a collared shirt. It was like, damn.
Not button down and some shoes. And then if you didn't have a shoe, like, I remember one time he said, if you didn't have a shoe, you had to have a sneaker, you know those sneakers like that almost look like a shoe, like a Bally's.
Yeah.
Like something like that. You were good with that.
Or like the Pradas.
Yeah, right. Pradas, or the Pradas. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Pradas was a shit back in the day. Pradas.
Every flavor.
Yeah.
So you became a big name in the city from promoting parties.
Small name.
Small name, but making big relationships.
Yeah. Relationships was very a bigger key.
So what's the next thing? Because you're a renaissance man. You do a lot of different things. So you build a name for yourself in a party. Then do you go to the spirits industry after that?
Well, right then and there, I had met me and a partner of mine, Ebony Brown. She was actually a partner of mine that we was doing some summer parties together. And one of the, she ended up meeting a guy that wanted to meet me. And I ended up meeting both of them, two gentlemen by the name of Raphael and Solomon. And I met them at a coffee shop on 49th Street and 9th Avenue. And I didn't even know what the meeting was about. Mm-hmm. She was just like, Nick, meet these two gentlemen. I think they want to sponsor our next party, but they have this liquor brand. I was like, okay, cool.
This is the Pulp Fiction meeting.
Because this is the meeting when you have like the good brother, which was Solomon, and the bad brother, Raphael. And he was talking about what they had and this and that. And they had a briefcase on the table. So every time he would say, so, do you think you can get this product to Puff Daddy? And I would be like, well, I promote at his restaurant, so maybe. So the brother will be like, oh yeah, so we want to show you. And then as soon as he lifts up the briefcase, his brother will slam it down. Boom.
Not yet.
Do you think you can get this product into the hands of the African American consumers? Yeah, I think I can. You want to open up that suitcase and let me see? No, not yet. And it was like a really funny meeting, but it was like, okay, let me step back. So I got the product in my hand, and I didn't know anything about liquor. I knew how to drink it, but that was it. But then he took it, and then the funny story is I got a call that week from a friend that was doing a party at a mansion. And he asked me, he said, Nick, do you have anybody I can get some liquor from? And I was like, you know what? I got six cases that I could actually give you. Good story. And he gave me the six cases, and I brought it up to Bedford, New York, and it was a mansion party, and it had everybody there, from music execs on down to the whole, like, industry, from fashion, sports, a lot of, I would say, stylists. It just was everybody that you can imagine. And I brought it down there. We were having a good time. And I remember the creative, the catering lady came to me within inside the party, mid into the party, and said that I'm gonna need more product of that blue stuff that you had. Mm. I was like, what is it? I mean, I know you couldn't have, because wait a minute, I gave you six cases, six in the case, six times.
How many in the case?
Six cases. There's six in the case.
Okay.
Six cases, that's 36. No way in the world that someone went through half that product already, and the party is just like 2 hours in. So she's like, no, you need to come with me. So I came with her, and it was like a beautiful deck. But overlooking the deck was the pool and like the area. And there was two bars set up. And as I looked over, you know, and she was trying to show me what the bar was doing, I noticed that everybody in their clear cup, everything was blue. Yeah. But I'm talking about like just everybody. Talking about male, female, Latino, white, black, like everybody, and just enjoying it and having a good time. And I remember walking up to one of the guys, and I said to him, I said, what you drinking? And he was like, I don't know, man, but this is good. I think it's like some Alizé. And I was like, oh, okay. But then I went around and asked some girls, and everybody was like, yo, this is fire. So I was like, oh, okay. So I went to the car, I never said nothing. I remember calling Raphael, and I was like, hey, I need to see you Monday. So yeah, Raphael was like, bet. So I met him on Monday. I told him that I'm in. I said, I'm gonna give this a go and let's go. And I don't wanna stop with this. And he said, listen, I just sold my condo. I'm living with my parents now. I took the money, I'm gonna put it into this brand, and we gonna rock. I don't have money to pay you. Very key. But if you believe in it, there'll be money to come. And I said, all right, well, I'm gonna need a couple of dollars just to move around. He said, no, I got that. But I know you don't have money for a salary, but you know what? I'm in. So we took on the brand, and it was called Hypnotique. It's very important, right? Mm-hmm. So it was called Hypnotique. So for the first 3 months, I sat in a car and drove with him around the city for 3 months with Hypnotique. For 3 months, guys, and went around from every club, every bar, every restaurant, you name it, and we sold nothing. Mm. 90 days of nothing. And I mean, we couldn't sell anything. And one night, we were by the FDR Drive because he was getting ready to go back home to Queens. And I was had a paper with me. And I was writing down, you know, he was listening to Gypsy Kings. You know, the music was melodic. He's feeling himself. He's like, man, I don't know if I can do this anymore. Like, and he's, you know, he's like feeling down and depressed because, you know, we've been rocking and rolling and we just don't know what's going on. And he said, I was writing down something. I said, you know, is it possible that if we could just change the H to the, maybe we could put an I in front of the P, or maybe we could put a Y, and maybe we could change the Q to a K, maybe like try like a hypnotic. He was like, no, you can't. But he paused. He said, wait a minute. Sbarro's is called Sbarro's, but ain't spelled like, wait a minute. You know, what liquor store you got tomorrow? I said, I got a store in Harlem. He said, you know what? Try it. Just try it. Just see what happens. So the next day, I go up to a store in Harlem, and a guy comes in and had a model with me. And the minute the girl said, excuse me, would you like to try some hypnotic? And the guy turned around and said, oh, I'll try some. He tried it. He's like, this is cool. I came to buy something else. She was like, oh, no problem. Next guy came in, young black guy. She was like, would you like to try some hypnotic? He was like, hypnotic? Oh, man, what's that? Like an Alizé? She was like, oh, no, it's different. You know, it's made with fine grapes. It's cognac with a little touch of vodka. You know, she did a little Spiro. She gave it to him. He was like, yo, this is good. I even like the name. And I looked at him and I said, I like the name.
We got something.
So I walked back, called Raphael. I said, Raphael, the brand is called Hypnotic.
Yeah.
Period. And he was like, yo, how many bottles you sold? I said, man, I just sold one. But yo, I'm going to rock with this. So yeah, so we rocked and we changed the name and we went with Hypnotic. And no, that's not the good part yet, guys, because I still only sold 3 bottles that day. And by the fifth month, it's a good story right here. I'm and I hope you'll understand this. It's like when you take a risk in life and you take a leap, you gotta understand that leap and you gotta stick with it. Cause 5 months in, I was probably like 2 months behind on my rent. Car insurance is probably 3 months lapsed. I'm still working on my dream. I'm still going out every day and I can't sell anything. And I was going to give it all up. On that, I was like, you know what, guys? I don't think I can do it anymore. And I had a long talk with my child's mom at the time. And I just had to figure out, I just probably just going to go back with my degree and just, you know, and go out and get a job, you know? And I was sitting at home. It was late. You know, when it's home at late, you pull that bottle of wine out. You just start watching movies. And your brain is going all over the place, like, you know, because you're broke. And you're just trying to figure it out. And movie came on, Shawshank Redemption.
Classic.
And I was watching it. And the minute Morgan Freeman said, it's either I'm going to go and do one or two things. I'm going to get busy living. I'm going to get busy dying. And that right there sparked me. I was like, oh, man, I'm going to get busy living. That was it. And I got up that morning, and I thought like I was 50% in. I'm not giving up yet. But going in that morning, I got in my car because in Harlem, you have to move your car, ultimate side of the parking, early in the morning. J. Crew Love, he knows he knows all so well about that, early morning. And yeah, he got money now. So you know,
life unchanged.
Right. But then I got up, and yo, guys, fellas, I turned on the radio, BLS. I was getting ready to move my car. And Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5, I've never heard this record before in my life, had a record called We're Almost There. And when the horns start with the music and then when the music starts with it, it just, I didn't know what it was. It touched me. And Michael says the first lines of it says is like, no matter how hard times may seem, don't give up on your plan. Don't give up out your dream. Yo.
He's talking to me.
Yo, he's talking to me. Yo, and then, yo, it's like, and he's talking about, yo, we're almost there. And I was like, oh, man. And I remember that I found parking, put my outfit on. I went to the store, and the guy said, you know what? I don't know what anything about you right now, but I got my bag with me. He said, but the glow that you got, I'll buy a case. I said, serious? Because I usually hear no's. Like, I used to walk in, excuse me, sir, you have a chair? I want to no. Excuse me, ma'am. I just want to tell you something. Ma'am, you look good today. Thank you. But, ma'am, you want to? No. I've been hearing that so many times. I got a black book that I always laugh about, but I always show my friends. And I had 41 no's until I had I smell like Jackie Robinson, right? Number 42. But on the 42nd one, I felt like that was the one that was the key. And the guy in the store was like, yeah, but listen, I'm going to take this case. But if I don't sell this over the weekend, you're going to have to come back in here on Monday and buy it back. Hmm. And I was like, damn.
How much this case is going for?
Oh, back, I think we were probably at like 122, okay. 125. Like we weren't that expensive.
Okay.
Because you're talking about like a $17, $18 bottle. Times about that. Yeah, about that. Okay. That's what we're selling at. So we went, I got the case. And he said, listen, you're going to have to come back here on Thursday. No, he said Friday and do a tasting. So I was like, okay. You know when you're happy because I sold the case, right? So I'm just happy. I'm just running out like, yo, okay. Thank you. A liquor store tasting. Got you. Friday. Bet. I slammed the door. About to go to the car. And I said, what the hell is a tasting? The tasting that he kind of wanted was different. The ones that I was doing was just regular. He wanted something a little bit more uplifting. So I was like, man, you know what? I know how to take this to the next level. So I went and I was like, I'm going to spend a couple of dollars. I had to buy a beautiful table, beautiful cloth. I even bought some flowers from the guy at the corner. And so that Friday, when I decorated my area, I made it feel so appealing. You know, and I even had like Mike and Ike's. I remember bought like light blue Mike and Ike's, like just spreading them like in a candy jar. When the customer came in there, he just felt like a different vibe.
So what is a tasting? A tasting is like a hosting?
Yeah. Tasting is like, yeah, so you have a table, you have a model, and you do it for 2 hours inside the liquor stores. So someone comes in and you're trying to offer them a sample of it, and you just pour them that 1 ounce.
Yeah, I was thinking like, yo, when I go into Sam's, like the people, like they ask you for, like, yo, you want the sample? You want the sample? You want the sample?
Yeah.
The presentation wasn't like yours, obviously.
Yeah. No, but nowadays they stepped it up. I was just saying, like, Stuart Lennox, and they were sampling some meat and had like a whole barbecue going on. I was like, what?
I'll take it.
These tastes have changed. I'll take that, what's that, bacon? I'll take it. No, I'm just kidding. But no, so that's what a tasting really is. So I did that, and, but the thing is, guys, this is marketing 101. How do you get a case that is sold in the liquor store in Harlem? And he says to me, if I don't move these 6 bottles, I got to buy it back out of there. What do you do? Well, you know what you do. You call your cousins.
call 6 friends.
That's it. So I called my cousin. That was kind of big time at the time at one of the projects in Harlem. And I told him, I asked him, I said, I need a favor. And I went to him on Thursday, and he could not wait to do this favor. He thought that this was like a Mission Impossible thing, because I told him what I wanted you to do is I need you to bring in 6 friends every half hour to this store and buy this bottle. Mm-hmm. And he's never had a job. So this was like a job for him. So he was so happy. He's like, Ben, I got this. So came 5 o'clock that day. At 5:15, one guy walks in and buys a bottle of Hypnotic. Walks out. Owner looks at me at the thing and goes, yo. 20 minutes later, no, 15 minutes later, 2 girls walk in. Hey, what's up? Oh, we come here to get Alizé. And the girl, like, they doing a whole show. Whole show. All right? And I know they're from the block. That's the funny part. Goddamn Brendan and Taisha. All right?
Taisha.
Yeah, come on now. But they doing a whole skit. And all of a sudden, they takes in the sample. Ooh, this is good. What's oh, girl, we gonna buy this. They buy two bottles. Now I got three more to sell. I'm like, oh, please. So now by the third bottle, manager comes over to me. Yo, owner said, yo, I'm actually, let me buy another case. I said, well, hold on. I don't know if I'm selling these other three bottles. He said, no. For some reason, I feel this. I was like, oh, yeah, I feel it too. So I get him another case. So the moral of the story was, my cousin had operation shutdown. He not only sent six, but he sent like 12. People were coming in that store buying a bottle, walking out buying a bottle. But the crazy part about it was a good summer, like it was a good Friday night. Mm. So they were going back to the block, drinking, having a good time. But now everybody was coming back. My promotion was only 2 hours. I got a call. I left him with three cases, which was 18 bottles. He went through 18 that night around 9:30 at night. He called me and said, I need five cases by tomorrow morning again. I was like, I got three now, but I'll be back in the morning. The crazy part is, not only did I sell out in that store, he said, yo, I called my brother who has a store on 145th Street up on Broadway. He wants five cases as well on Saturday. So now I didn't go there. We had to drop off uptown, and then I had to call my other cousin, I'm gonna blow him up, in St. Nick Projects, because he was closer to that liquor store, and do the same operation and blow up that store. And the crazy part is, like, by the end of the weekend, we were 15 cases in, and all of a sudden, the buzz started, like, hitting around the projects. And that was the, like, that we just started, that was like the start of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just visually appeasing, man. Like, yeah. When you first see that blue liquor, it was like, for us, when I first saw it, I was like, damn, they drinking Kool-Aid? Like, what are they really drinking? Because like when we see it, it's like, yo, that looks like the fruit punch flavor or the raspberry flavor.
Blue magic.
And it was like,
so,
oh.
But all right, so now you, okay. So, but what really skyrocketed the whole thing was
product placement.
F-A-B-O-L-O-U-S, right? Fabulous, right? That's what really.
So after the 15, are you calling Raphael like, yo, we got this?
We got this. Then we started knowing that we noticed that the name change was very key. And then we just started working really hard, right? And then that was the beginning of the summer. And then I got my first big break in November. Before we get to that one, which you was about to say, right. I want to bring you a little bit closer. Watch this one. This is a good story. I got many stories. Get ready. By the end of the summer, I got a few accounts, but not that many. We're about to go to Labor Day weekend, and my partner John at the time for promotions, he was like, Nick, I got some good news. I'm doing Puff Daddy's party, White Party, Hamptons. Remember the Hamptons scene? Doing that Labor Day weekend. Good way to put your brand out there. I need about, you know, six cases, eight cases. I'm like, whatever you need, John, I'm there. We went out to the Hamptons. Party was hot. Blew it up. John had made a concoction. He called it the Biggie Hypnotize. So he had like the Hypnotic, a Malibu, and a pineapple. And man, that joint was off the chain. And everybody was like rocking to it. Had a little menu placement. At the end of the night, John said, yo, we decided to take it in. And we're going to do the release the following Tuesday of that week. I was like, bet. I'm at Justin's, finally. Perfect, can't wait.
Justin's is the restaurant.
Yeah, that, Justin's was Puff Daddy's restaurant, 21st Street between 5th and 6th. Yeah.
Named after his first son.
That's right. Yeah. And it was the who's who of who in New York was always at Justin's.
Yeah.
You know? So I was like, you know, I was happy, everything was good, let's rock. Monday comes, and Monday, I can't wait. I'm doing everything I possibly can. I'm getting like flyers done. I'm getting everything ready. So my man works like all the way down by Wall Street, and he's, you know, he's gonna make my menu cards, because I didn't even have no money. Like, we didn't even have money for Staples. Okay, there was no like, yo, go to Kinko's. I had to go to a friend with a copier machine. Okay, that we had that type of money. Mm. So we had to go. I had to go there. Had to be there by 8 o'clock in the morning. Ed Lover was on the radio at Hot 97. And I begged Ed Lover to come to the party. He was like, Nick, I got you. So I got up at morning at 7 o'clock, Got downtown at 8 o'clock, Wall Street, mind you. Got to Hot 97 around like 8:30. Walked out of the building. Everybody's happy. It's a good day. Sun is out. Beautiful day. Gonna launch my brand. This is like my turning point in my life. It's that following Tuesday, 2001. 8:46 in the morning.
September 11th.
Tower 1 is hit. Mm. On my day. On my day. This shit couldn't happen any other day. I didn't want it to happen. Never.
Right.
Oh my God. But damn, on this, like 9/11. We supposed to launch Hypnotic on 9/11 at Justin's. Mm. And whose party, whose record release that we were going to listen to? Fabulous.
Fabulous. Yeah. Jay-Z dropped that
and
day.
And Jay-Z too.
The Blueprint dropped, and Fabulous dropped
the same
day. Yeah. Same day, yeah.
Yep. Mm. So we were going to listen to them albums. Like, hey, that was like an important thing. Of course, that never happened. And then, so then we had to really sit back and we had to wait. And then we waited. And then I had to figure out another launch date for New York because New York was down. And I chose November 1st. That year, Michael Jordan was coming back to Madison Square Garden and then he was playing with the Wizards. And he was coming back to New York. And Justin's, it was like, actually, it was on a Tuesday and we started that night. And we did a promotion at Justin's, launched it that night. But the biggest thing was, the biggest club in New York on Tuesday night was Club Cheetah.
Oh, man.
So Club Cheetah was the after party.
Club Cheetah, the club of amnesia.
That's it. We did the after party at Club Cheetah. And I remember going in with the manager, and the manager not believing me. And he's like, I'll take 6 bottles, but I doubt it's going to sell. And lo and behold, like, we killed it that night. And here came a rapper named Fabulous.
Brooklyn Zone.
He bought 2 bottles. Latrell Sprewell bought 2 bottles.
Latrell Sprewell.
Yeah, Clarence Weatherspoon on the Knicks. They bought another bottle. Like, yo, we sold out. The manager was like, yo, I need another case. But I didn't have another case at that time. I was like, I gotta come back, you know, tomorrow. He was like, man, I would have sold out. But it was a good feeling. But then I ended up getting to meet Fab, which was even better. You know what I'm saying? So So that was like a really like good start of the movement going into next year. Because going into next year, we started to like really like start like a real grassroots marketing plan, hitting as many bars and clubs and restaurants we could. We was getting a name for ourselves, but we still was growing a little bit. Then came spring of that year of 02, and I was able to put a little bit of my budget together to do a video with Fab.
Yeah, Trade It All.
Trade It All.
Yeah.
And Trade It All, guys, Jagged, Puff Daddy, Jagged Edge.
Yeah.
Barbershop soundtrack, Ice Cube's first movie. Yep. You know, like, whoa. To do that, and then to come back home, and mind you, we didn't even have a distributor in New York yet.
So how'd you, all right, you put the product placement, you put the bottle in the video. It's mm-hmm. legendary, whole situation.
Yeah.
How much did you have to pay Fab for that?
I wish I could just plead the fifth on this. Question, yeah. But I'm gonna be honest with you guys. You probably will be like, you wouldn't believe it. I don't know. I mean, I could probably tell. I mean, it was years ago. I mean, whatever. Like, all right, so we paid under 10 grand. How about that?
Okay.
Under 10?
Under 10,
okay.
Right? For a video of that magnitude,
yeah.
Under 10,000.
Yeah.
All right? Something for him, something for the manager. Hey, we good.
The whole team.
Hey, let's just, you know, give me 1 second. But he gave me not 1 second. You know, they gave me
the whole,
seconds.
The whole thing. Yeah, yeah.
Oh. And to the point where.
First commercial.
Yeah. And to the point where we got, remember, I'm telling you, like, we still was rocking. We only had an importer license, and we was working out of a place out of Long Island. We didn't have no distributor. And when that video hit, yeah, imagine being in a small office with 3 people, and the guy's aunt, which is probably like 70 years old, is answering the phone. And she's like, hello? Okay, hold on. We have Delaware on the phone? Hello? Georgia? Hello? not what that video did was not only for clubs and restaurants, the distributors in cities were calling.
So how quick, everybody, all right, so they saw the blue liquor in the video. Nobody really knew what it was, but it was just the whole vibe.
It was the vibe.
And then how quick did that turn into people just asking?
Yeah, we need it.
Yeah, it seemed like it was wildfire.
Overnight?
It seemed like it was overnight because we signed on with a distributor who jumped on it, like ASAP. We signed on with them like within a week. And then they had a sales force of like 50 to 60. So we were able to like start flooding the gates in New York. Not only in clubs, but the most important thing was the stores. Mm. Stores were wanting it more than anything. And they were taking 20 case drops. They were taking 10 case drops. Because people were looking at videos and going into the store and be like, yo, I need that bottle, that blue bottle.
What? They didn't even know what it was. No. They just wanted the blue bottle.
That blue bottle that was in the video.
So you did the influencer marketing before influencer marketing was
big. Product placement before there was product placement, especially in this industry.
Well, and influence marketing too, because that's true. That's right. Real big now on social media, but influencers.
Yeah.
But I mean, rap video's always been a product placement.
But it was like nobody was really like on top of it to be like, yo, this is where I want, because that's one, like everybody was like putting a brand in it, but they were using it. Nobody was really getting paid. That was a good thing too. They were just using it. I mean, it was putting Cristal was probably in all the videos prior before that, right?
Yeah.
You know, that was like the number one, like, hey, Cristal, you know, until, you know.
That was a status symbol.
Right. You know, but I tell you, the video that put me on status symbol when we had to work a deal out was making sure that it was like, you know, when you really want to work with the artist, but you really want to put it up and make sure that it was like prominent, was when I did a video with Billy Woodruff in Miami. Shaw Club.
Ooh.
60 bottles on the wall.
Legendary director.
Yes.
Whose video was that?
Exactly. Let me do the song. I'd rather do the song than say the name at this point. Like, is everybody going to bash? Why can't no bash me? He was hot. I don't give a damn. Like,
Cisco?
R. Kelly.
Ignition.
Hot and fresh out in the kitchen.
Right.
I'm rolling now. Yeah. Yo, 60 bottles.
Damn.
60 bottles on the wall.
So how all right. So what was the numbers that y'all was selling before the Fab, and what was the numbers like a year later? Like how did?
We probably were selling maybe like 500 cases. Maybe we were close to like 600 cases
total.
Until the video comes out. Video came out. We was up to 5,000.
5,000 cases. I read somewhere that the price point changed too. Like the bottles. Yeah, because
we
at one point.
Yeah, because we was at $16.99, and then. When you get with a distributor.
So I keep hearing distributor. Yeah. Can you just elaborate on the role of a distributor?
They're the real sales force. When you don't have a sales team, they're the sales force. They're the ones with the backing to, you know, they have what you call a real sales force team. And then they have what you call a pamphlet of everything else that I'm going to sell with your product. A portfolio. Right, so they have a portfolio of things.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, the distributor that we went to probably only had like two or three. They had Patron, which was rising.
Oh, back then?
Back then, yeah, they had Patron, which was like a key. And then they had like, I think they had like Pierre Jouet. They had like a champagne, and then they had like something else. I think they had like a cognac, but nothing like really big, but... It was a small distributor. Actually, it's funny because it's up here. It's up in Portchester.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they were called Eber Brothers.
So 5,000, that's for the year?
For the year.
So you went from 500 to 5,000?
5,000.
It's like 1,000% increase, something like that?
Yeah. But the thing was now, I'm just talking about New York. We got opened up in 5 states. That's the real big key thing. Like now we had to move a container, which a container... You know, holes that's coming from France all the way over here, you know, by water. So we was figuring out like, yo, we got to get that shit, excuse my language, over here quickly. But of course, it's going to still take time because it's by freight. But we're looking at places that was taking in containers. So a state was calling in like, yo, I need a container.
So you wasn't making the liquor in America. The liquor wasn't made in America.
No, France, it's in France.
It was made in France.
Mm-hmm.
What's that process like from getting it, obviously from?
It's a lot. Yeah. It's a process that when people always say, yo, you need to come out with your own liquor. You need to do your research. You need to really go back over and really see exactly a lot of things. There's a lot of There's so much movement inside of getting a product done in France and bringing it over from France to the U.S. And there's so many like laws and there's things that you got to tackle and there's red tape and there's a lot.
It can't be made in America?
Oh, yeah. Now, of today, I mean, you can see there's distilleries and there's things that's popping up all around the country now, which is like, you know, great.
So at the peak, how big was Hypnotic? Like at its peak, what was the...
Oh, million cases, easily.
A year? 2 million a year?
Yeah, because I was, we did, in the stretch that I was in there, in 3 years, we did 1 million cases.
How much money is that? Like,
in the millions. In the double millions. Like, yeah, in the double millions. You could sometimes everybody always says like you can do the numbers, right? So you can times what a case would be, you know, whatever a case is. So let's just say a case was a 130, right? So you times that by 1 million cases. Do it that way. But that ain't the net, like that's not overall. Like you got so many other cuts that you have to do, but it's a lot of money.
So it's Raphael and his brother, then it's you?
It's Raphael. Solomon really wasn't a part of it. He just was like helping out in the beginning, but it really was just Raphael and me. And it was a gentleman by the name of Jim Goldstein who had an importer's license that really helped us with the importing of everything outside of it in Long Island.
So you got up to, at the peak, you said 1 million cases.
Well, no. So up to the peak, when we sold in 2003.
You sold the company?
We sold the company, yeah.
Okay.
We sold the company in 2003.
So like a bigger, who'd you sell it to?
Heaven Hill. Out of Kentucky.
That's a liquor company.
Yeah. So they're like the fourth biggest family in bourbon in the country. Yeah. So they're the biggest one is like, you know, Evan Williams. Like they're like huge.
How much you sell it for?
About $60 million. I know, right? What was your cut? I had a lot.
No,
I
mean.
Yeah, right. You know what I always tell everybody is thing is that I got broke off pretty nice. Wasn't as nice as everybody were like, oh my God, you should have got, no, because at that time, I took a couple of points, but really wasn't adapted to the knowledge of that I have today. Mm-hmm. Like, you know,
he's getting into business.
Yeah, like,
just
you know,
learning.
Just learning. Like, you know, it's just like any like producer, like, yeah, you know, I'll give up half of my whatever on this track, and then the track becomes so great, and you're like, oh, I didn't know, but you know, you live and you learn. But it was like, I always say this, it was good enough for me to at least say, I bought my mom and dad the condo that they kind of wanted for a long time, and I wasn't a ball player, and I wasn't a rapper, and I didn't sell drugs. Okay, so hey, I accomplished a lot.
No, that's a fact, you know what I'm saying? That's a fact. When Fabulous sees you now, does he ever feel a way that he got paid less than $10,000?
No, not at all. Fab is like all, I mean, Fab is like, he's been my friend for God knows how many years. Like, he's been the biggest supporter of me, not only from Hypnotic, but then remember we went over to Ciroc. And
well, yeah, that's what we're going to
get there. We're going to get there.
Because like, that's what makes it legendary, right? Like, if you can do something once, great. If you do it twice, that makes you a legend.
There it is.
Right? So,
yeah.
So you've done that twice.
I did it twice.
With Ciroc. So can we talk about Ciroc?
So we finished with Hypnotic because that was crazy, right? I didn't even get to tell my Incredible Hulk story, but we're good.
Hulk is a legendary drink because it has two classics in the black culture, Hennessy and Hypnotic.
Yes, yeah, it is.
And it changes the color of the drink.
It changes the color and how I did it, guys.
Like, you created that?
Did you? Oh, did you do the homework? Can I check these notes? Yes. Wow. But I'm going to tell you the true story. I did the marketing of it.
Okay.
Will I say I created it? Like when I was in Double XL magazine, when they wrote me up and talked about how I blew this drink up.
Right.
It was really somebody anonymous that was in Brooklyn.
Okay.
No, true story.
Okay.
Kid walked in. He told my model, sampling girl, mm-hmm. that's at the, nah, baby, we know how to do this. So he grabbed a Hennessy bottle. Then he grabbed a Hypnotic bottle. He brought it to the table and he poured the Hypnotic first and he poured the Hennessy after it. And I was sitting behind these boxes because I didn't want to I'm just doing some like store reports and like just seeing who's coming in and I'm working with the girl. And I didn't notice that both of them stood together, but he put his finger in the drink and made it turn around and made it turn green. But the crazy part about it is that after he did it, he was like so amped about it. He called it the money shot. Hmm. And he's about to walk away and he went back to the girl and he said, "Yo, mom, can I get your number?" And she's like, "No, you know, I can't do that." And he's like, "All right, no problem. You know, it sometimes just, it turns, you know, the green sometimes make me feel confident. Just like make me feel like the Hulk." And I was like, the Hulk. Green like the Hulk. So I wrote it down. Green like the Hulk. I sat with it for an hour. I called my friend Mark in LA. I said, "Mark, you always talk about Tupac, because Alize is my, that's my arch nemesis."
He always talked about that.
And I'm like, I can't beat Alize. And I'm trying to. And Mark, what's that song? He said, "Yo, Nick, it's the Thug Passion record." He says, "Pass me that Alize and that Hennessy." And I was like, "You know what, Mark? I'm going to do the Hulk." He said, "What?" I said, "Because if you put Hennessy in Hypnotic, it turns green. I'm going to do the Hulk." So he was like, "Oh, okay." So I went back, told Raphael my plan. He thought it was ludicrous. He thought you were spending the money on marketing money for
another company.
Something stupid, yeah. Right? What are you doing? I was like, "Raphael, just trust me on this." I went to Abracadabra on 21st Street. I rented the Incredible Hulk costume. I'm about to put somebody's name on blast. I had to call my cousin Raheem, who had just came home from doing college time. You know what I mean? And Raheem came home big as a house. And Raheem was looking for a job. And I said, "Raheem, meet me here at a place called Babaloo's. And I need you to meet me here." He couldn't wait. He dressed all in black. He got his outfit ready. And he met me there. And he was like, "What do I got to do?" And I was like, "What you got to do is wear this costume." He was like, "Yo, I'm not wearing this fucking costume." I was like, "Nigga, you going to wear this costume?" He was like, I was like, "Listen, you want this $200? Because that's what we pay for the promotion. You want this $200? He's like, "You know what? I'll wear it." But that's it. The funny part of the story is that I had him dressed in an Incredible Hulk costume and walk around with a Hennessy bottle and Hypnotic bottle for all night. The manager told me that I was only going to sell at least 10 drinks. Was not going to come close to the Thug Passion. I ended up selling 45 drinks that night. The manager told me if I could bring this Incredible Hulk guy in here for the next 4 Fridays, he'll take in 10 cases a week. And that's what we did. I blitzed out New York from Justin's, Babaloo's, all the way to Jimmy's Bronx Cafe on an Incredible Hulk costume for 3.5 months until I embedded it inside of New York. That's how the Incredible Hulk was really made.
If you ever been to a party in New York City in the 2000s and that drink was in the environment, that changed the entire environment.
Nah, legendary.
That
legendary.
Changed the entire environment. Legendary.
All right, so we're going to talk about the Ciroc situation. So I remember the first time I saw Ciroc, Diddy had like a New Year's Eve commercial, and he's like with a tuxedo on, he's drinking. So I'm like, "What the hell is Ciroc?" I never heard of Ciroc before. And
come
then
fly with me, come fly, let's fly away.
And then like Vegas commercial.
6 months later,
he's on a jet ski with it.
Oh man, it hit like a tidal wave. So all right,
up until that point, we was drinking Grey Goose.
Grey Goose.
Grey Goose was champion. Was the champion.
Grey Goose was the champion.
Yeah, yeah. And that changed.
Grey Goose was the champion. Oh, yeah. And
very
Ciroc,
quickly,
Ciroc changed the whole dynamic. So
we're sitting with the reason.
Yes, yes, yes. So all right. Yeah. Yes. What is? Yes. What is the deal with Ciroc?
How did we start the Ciroc?
No, I don't even. Well, I mean, it actually it's crazy because it started when I went to a party at a mansion on like 62nd Street. And it was actually a release for Unforgivable, the cologne.
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Unforgivable was the release. And I went there and I'm walking out. And as I'm walking down the block, I hear this two women screaming, like, not, well, they were, Nick Storm. And I look over and I know one of the ladies because I knew her from another company. And she'll tell a story better than me, Erica Pittman, who's like a powerhouse in the business. She'll tell her, like, "I was running down in stilettos and I jumped over the car just to get to him." But yeah, so she jumped over and then actually it was Erica and Dia Sims, both powerhouse women of today.
Stone Cold Enterprise.
That's right. And she they both said, "Hey Nick, we need you to come and meet with Sean." And I was like, "Oh, okay." I didn't know anything what was going on. They was like, "Yeah, we're gonna give you a call this week. We've been looking for you. We're trying to find you. We got to find you today, but yeah, we need to come and sit with him." I was like, "All right, just let me know." And the next day, I got a call from a woman by the name of Jackie Lee, who was at Diageo at the time. Very powerful black woman, African-American woman, sorry. And she was, she was like, "Nick, there's some things happening up at Diageo, but you're going to get a call, so just be prepared for it." And I was like, "Okay, cool." So anyway.
Diageo is the company that owns Ciroc, right?
Exactly, yeah. And they own
a lot of different.
Yeah, they own 40% of LVMH, which is Hennessy and Moet, and they own everything from Johnny Walker on down, from Crown Royal, you know, all the way across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So they're so I ended up getting a call and to come meet with Mr. Coombs. So my first day, I'm like, "Oh, okay, I don't mind," but I have no idea what it really is entailed. But when I get there, I get to the office. And he's like, "Yo, what's up?" I was like, "Hey, what's going on?" So I sit in the couch. Now, mind you, at this time, this is like Puff Daddy.
Did you know him before that?
07. Yeah. Okay. Well, not knew him like chilling, but I knew him like I was doing a lot of events. And a guy by the name of Jeff Sanchez at the time worked for Puff.
Okay.
And he was plugging me wherever Puff was at. Because Puff was like in Hypnotic.
Yeah.
So wherever Puff was at, I was like, "All right, I got your cases over here. I got your cases over here. Yeah. Like, what do you need?" So Puff, the funniest thing is like, when he was like, "Yo, I just want to know one thing before this whole meeting." I was like, "Yo," he was like, "How'd you do it?"
The $1 million question.
So I was like, how I did what? He was like, "No, how'd you do it? How'd you get Hypnotic everywhere?" I was like, well, and then you go into a trance because he's looking at you with those, you know, like how he looks at you on the floor when he goes like this.
We've heard some stories.
Right, like, and you just get, so, and then, mind you, he's got the Biggie poster behind him, Grammys. I mean, his office, you ever been to Puff's office? His office is immaculate. Like, it's like every picture from Quincy Jones on down to the presidents. And so you're already in, like, you better, like, figure it out, right? But then you got, like, your dad and, like, you know, like, "You better not tell him nothing." And then, you know, the good cop, angel, you know, the devil. Like, you don't know what to do. And then I said, "You know what? I did a little bit of this, and I did a little bit of that." And I was like, and he was like, "Oh, good answer." I was like, "You know, I did some videos. I did some, you know, street marketing. I try to keep it really." He was like, "Okay, I see what you're saying." He's like, "Listen, you ever heard of Ciroc?" I was like, "Oh, yeah, I've heard of it. We're about to do this." He told me a little bit of this. He broke everything down. He was very animated. He was like getting up. I was like, "Ooh, I feel the energy. I feel the vibe." And he's like, "Yo, I'm telling you, you got to get on this train. Like, yo, you got some good ideas. Yo, you got to bring them over here. Let's rock and roll. Talk to Dia." I was like, "All right, cool." So, like, the next week, I spoke to Dia. And Dia was like, "Yo, I'll bring you on." I was like, "You know what? Perfect timing. I'm ready to go." And I went on board. And 2008 was like the real official, like, "We're going to make this thing happen." And yeah. And I got on and I put some programs together. And these are very key programs in anything that we've done. The number one key program was the Ambassador Program. And the key about ambassadors is what I did with Hypnotic. And I never wanted one company for us to give the marketing budget to one company and have them run the promotions. I mean, there's companies out there now like Team and these other companies that, like, they just do the promotions for the company. But there's nobody that's living and breathing the brand. And when we had Hypnotic, they were going to give our money to, like, one promotional company, and then I would fly in and be with them. But I was like, I want somebody that lives and breathes the brand every day. I want someone who knows that Fab is doing a party tonight. Meek Mill's birthday is tomorrow. The Nike release is at the Nike store. Like, I need that person that's in the market every day, breathing, living the brand. And that right there is what a real ambassador is about. And I did that with Hypnotic. And I was like, well, what I'm going to do with Ciroc is we're going to take that same blueprint and we're going to bring it over here and we're going to do it over here. And that was very key to the brand success. Not only that one, second part was doing a DJ program. DJ program I had with Hypnotic, but I only had three DJs. You know, I had like SNS, Clue, Big Tigger, right? Yeah. I had Big Tigger, I had Clue. Tigger and Clue, I tell you, I was the first person, we went to Hawaii together. Because we was doing like Hypnotic at the Naval Base, baby, you know? I had Camilo in Puerto Rico when he first was coming up. But when we got over to Ciroc, you know, shout out to Sean Prez, he was able to really, because he had like a lot of DJs for the musical side of it. Mm-hmm. So he was able to, we put the program together to able to do it on the Ciroc side. And that's when we had kind of like actually created the Ciroc Boys. Mm-hmm. And the Ciroc Boys name, I will always still tell you, it was a Puff Daddy thing. But I think that I have to give just a little bit of credit to Terrence J for some odd reason.
Terrence J, yeah. 106 in Park.
Man, because he was on 106 in Park. He was the young boy. He was rocking. And we was actually at the 4040 getting ready to do the Rock Boys video. And I was putting product placement in there. And Puff, Nas, Jay, and everybody was getting
classic
ready.
Classic video.
Up in their rooms and this and that. And I was getting something for the guys. And I remember Terrence J walking in. And he was like, yo, we here. And, you know, he's slapping Five with Puff and this and that. He's like, yo, you know, we here, man. You know, Rock Boys is here. And yo, Nick, where's Ciroc? Yo, come on. And I remember I was giving him the bottle just to joke around. And Terrence's like, you know, we Ciroc Boys. Oh, good. Yeah, good one. So that nigga Puff was like, nah, nigga, we all Ciroc Boys. And Puff was like, nah, we Ciroc Boys. And we just was rocking with it. And then that next week, we had to come up with a name for the DJs. And lo and behold, it was like, yo, Ciroc Boys. And there it was.
So why'd you choose the DJs? That's interesting. Why'd you choose the DJs? Because DJs kind of get looked over a lot.
Yeah, because the DJs are very important.
Very influential people.
They went from breaking records to now.
Listen, so I always say this. I utilized my bartenders as DJs when I was really trying to break a brand at the bar. The bartender is going to tell you what to drink. Sometimes he will change you. Sometimes he will influence you. Bartender is very important inside of the business of the bar. The DJ, to me, was very important at that time for the people to know what we were drinking tonight, what we listening to, what we dancing to, what we rocking tonight. If you ain't got that Ciroc in your part, if you ain't got that, where that Ciroc bar, where Ciroc boys, and it just kept going on. I mean, when you got people like Flex and Clue and Enough and Camilo, Pro Style, Self, just in New York alone, you're looking at almost 5-6 nights of nonstop in your ear, in your face
everything.
Promotions.
Yeah.
Then you go across the country up in Chicago and you got Ferris, LA, Felly Fell, Atlanta, Drama. Like DC, Quicksilver, we had them all the way across the board. And whatever city you was at.
Yeah, it was like a stamp, man.
Yeah, we had a stamp on the Ciroc Boys across the country. And that's why when you said me earlier, was everybody a Ciroc Boy? I mean, if a guy was in a club and he probably 5-6 bottles of Ciroc, hey, he's a Ciroc Boy.
And then people started calling themselves Ciroc Boys, even if they weren't getting paid to call it.
It's no brand promotion. They just it's promotion.
Yeah,
it's
promotion. Of course. Yeah. Free promotion.
Some of it became bad because we had some calls from local market. Like, one of your Ciroc Boys showed up and took two bottles and said he was a Ciroc Boy.
Charge it to the company.
What?
Call Nick. He'll vouch.
Nick up, man. I was nowhere in Bridgeport, Connecticut. That wasn't me.
We got a DJ up there?
We got a DJ?
So you said something that was interesting with the Hypnotic that I just realized, because I see like even with 50 Cent with his thing that he's going to like different states. So when you roll out a liquor, it's like it doesn't just go nationally. Like it has to go like different markets, like one market at a time.
No, it can go nationally. Once you go with a national distributor, it'll go nationally. Like once you go with it, like so Diageo, of course, has distributors all across the country. Once you know when you're with Diageo, it's flooded across all 50 states. You know, like, that's how it is. You know, whether you're with Southern Wine and Spirits or whether you're with Empire or, you know, with Young's Market in L.A., like, each NDC down in D.C., like, each state has their own distributor. So once if I was to bring a brand tomorrow and it's called Evolution, and Diageo got this new brand called Evolution, we're not going to do one state at a time. It's going to be actually be flooded out all the way across the board. That's why you got to come out with a national plan, and you got to come out with a national marketing plan to make sure that you'll be able to, you know, move the product inside the states.
So the first part, right, in 08 when Ciroc takes off, the plan was like, we have the guy, right? Puff is the guy.
Yeah.
In my mind, I'm thinking like, this guy's James Bond. Was that the vision? Like, I seen him, he was on jet skis, he's jumping out of helicopters.
Yeah,
he was in Vegas, he's like Ocean's 11.
Yeah, he knew how to, it's one thing about him is, and being around him and working with him, like you're very on your toes, but he always has a vision that you'll be like, wow, like, I can see what you're saying. Like, you know, like, it was really a really incredible time to be around a man like that, to be honest with you. Like, he motivates you from every aspect, right? But the plan was, we wanted just to celebrate life. And we wanted to have a celebration moment about it. And we wanted to be about life, about the celebratory side of it. Like, no matter if you lost your job, we're going to celebrate because you're going to get a new one. When you got a job, we're going to celebrate because you got a job. Like, it was just, we're just trying to find bright moments within everybody. And even when it was just like a circle, like we had did a campaign like Circle, like Step Into the Circle was like, step into the circle of friends and friendship and love and love your friends and hang out with your family more. And just, we just try to figure out a lot of things that we wanted to come up with. But the most part about it was being celebrated and to celebrate life. And that's what the main thing about the whole branding about Ciroc was.
So how quick did Ciroc grow from?
Whoa, I can tell you those numbers. They went quick. They went from like, I mean, this is a brand that was out for 5 years between 2002 and 2007 until, Mr. Combs basically took it over. 60,000 case brand up for 5 years to when we got it. We doubled the numbers in 1 year. So we did from 60 to like 170 in 1 year. And then 1 year. And then 2009, we really killed it because we came out with the flavors. And the first flavors we came out was with coconut and red berry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So 2009, we really took the movement crazy because, one, it was a good time because he was coming out with Last Train to Paris, which was an album that he was coming out with
good
as
album.
Well.
Good album.
Good album. Like, good very album. Underrated.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Yeah.
Good album.
But he was, like, we was coming out with the album, but and we was doing album release in certain markets, and we were releasing the brand at the time, so it was very key. Timing is very key in a lot of things. So we were coming out with the album and branding a brand and coming out with the coconut Ciroc and the red berry in certain states. It just, everything was moving.
Yeah, so the first 3 years, I think I read a million cases?
Yeah, first three.
And you were the million case man then.
I did it again.
You did it again.
I did it again.
So, all right.
Just being a part of it, but
so,
yeah.
So you do that, and then, so what's your vision now as far as like, because I know you said now you do, you're a consultant. And
yeah.
You did it once, you did it twice, like, where do you see yourself in the spirits industry moving forward?
I think I could do it again.
History shows.
I could do it again. But I think now is I'm at a point in my life where I can look back and reflect and be happy. And one of the things I can really be happy about is I had got a phone call the other day from a young lady that really gave, like, really told me about working up under me, you know, what she learned, where she's at today, would have never been there because of me. And then I look back at about 11 to 12 people right now that's with inside the business and inside the liquor industry right now with jobs that look back and say, I came up under Nick Storm. And if you can't point someone in a direction and I always feel like, you really look good when you can really point somebody to make money. Like, I always feel like that, right? Like, I feel good to know that I put certain people in good positions to really make some money and feed their families. Mm-hmm. You know, and my job now, I think, is really educating the youth in understanding about hard work, dedication, and most importantly is, like, getting a lot of more youth, I mean, more of us, I'm sorry, with being Latin American and African American. As I said, I'm
both.
My mother's Puerto Rican and my father's African American. Okay. So I'm both. I'm best of both worlds. How I say it.
Like Noriega.
Yeah. But I would say as educating them on the business of the wine and spirits business. You know, I stated before, like I've been in the game 20 years, making six figures for 20 years. There's so many good jobs within inside the wine and spirits business that people don't know about. Whether it's marketing, whether it's advertising, whether it's public relations, whether it's salespeople. You know, like, you know, a girl told me the other day, and this is a good one too, she was a bartender at a strip club. And I'm sorry, a gentleman's club. Gentleman's club. And she was really good at sales. And she would say to me, you know, I wish I could blow this nightlife one day. And I said, you know what? You are. And when you're really serious, you let me know. And I think a week later, she was very serious. She asked me for advice. She put a blue suit on with her shirt. I told her what to wear. I told her what to say. She went for a job at a distributor, at a sales position. She got it. The reason why I'm telling this story is last 2 weeks ago, she said, I wanted your address because I wanted to send you a gift because for a year and a half, she's been doing really well, but this year in 2019, she made Sales Girl of the Year. She changed her life from the nightlife of what she really didn't want to do and really became a saleswoman and is so happy and proud. But that made me feel proud because she was able to change her whole lifestyle and really, like, you know, and she had a daughter and she's doing really well. And that's like that right there. You could change one person's life sometimes. When I speak in front of kids, and if two kids come up to me after it, like one kid came to me the other day and said, you really get paid to party? I was like, yeah, but not like that. But yeah, but you know, and but I always feel like, you know, that's my mission now, because I'm no good without giving the knowledge that what I was doing.
Each one, reach one.
Yeah. There it is. So that's where I'm at in my life. I want to consult with from brands on down to the younger generation, and I want to speak. I want to do public speaking with inside of schools and trying to educate them on jobs with inside the business.
So how would they find those jobs, right? The young lady, that's incredible that she did that, but she knew me. So how would the average person say, you know what, I want to get in the spirits industry, where do I go?
You know, I'm looking lately, and then a lot of people have been hitting me up, but it's a lot of people, like a lot of jobs are like online now. Okay. Like, you know, you can go on Diageo's website. You can go on Pernod Ricard's website, which is another big liquor brand. But you can go on these websites. And honestly, do your knowledge. Like, a friend of mine went at a liquor store, went in the back of a bottle, found where the bottle was being imported from, and wrote the company up in Connecticut, and found the website to it, and then found the HR person to it. Like, people are really like knowing how to do that. They're hungry enough to do the work now, which is good. And it's funny, I'm really only telling a story because he got the job. Yeah. Which is crazy. But he got, and then he's working in Connecticut right now. But yeah, so that's where I'm at now.
That's dope, man. Well, thank you for joining us, man. We appreciate it. How can the people contact you? Can they contact you? Or
you can contact me on my social media. You can DM me. I answer everybody. My email is nickstorm29@gmail.com. You can email me, but my IG is I am Nick Storm, and right. You can contact me. Or my manager, his name is Jay Cooler. My manager, his Instagram, I don't know his Instagram is Jay Cooler. Yeah, DM him. He'll get me, you know, at any speaking engagements, you know, whatever. You know, my manager's right there.
So shout out to the town of Greenberg.
Yeah.
Jay Crew Love. Woodland's own for a little bit.
Troy. We call him Stephen A. J.
That's a good one. That's actually a good one. That's a good one. Troy, housekeeping items?
Yeah, man. Shout out to everybody on Patreon.com. We have hit 100 on there. We had a goal to hit 100 people. And that's our Proud to Pay program. We hit 100. And we got something special for those people, like we said, on the site. We're going to do something real special to five or six of y'all. So be on the lookout for that. And keep supporting, man. We have 5 tiers. We're actually going to do some remodeling on our Patreon. We're going to change some things up. But keep supporting that. And everybody that's supporting the merch on earnyourleisure.com. It is hoodie season here in New York. So it might be hoodie season on the East Coast. So Our sweatshirts are up there. We have the Assets Over Liability sweatshirt. We're also going to have Hustle for Your Last Name. And we're going to have some new merch coming, man. Shout out to all our earners. That is, you know, the people that follow Earn Your Leisure and support Crazy. It's a community. And if you'll see. You shall see, Nick, after this episode is what the earners are all about. They are a legion of supporters. So shout out to them.
Yeah, shout out to them for sure. And Patreon's the community. And that's it. I'll see you guys next week. Peace.
Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.